Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for WordPress plugins A to Z, not Z.
Pulling it together, plugins that work, or pulling together plugins that work. It's episode 623, and we have plugins for customizing fields, logging in with IPs, and WordPress news, all coming up on WordPress Plugins from A to Z.
WordPress. It's the most popular content management and website solution on the internet. And with over 80,000 plugins to choose from, how do you separate the junk from the gems? Join us for a weekly, unrehearsed conversation about the latest and greatest in WordPress plugins. This is WordPress Plugins from A to Z.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you happen to be hiding out there on the globe today. Coming to you direct from the brewery overlooking beautiful southern Vancouver Island. I'm John Overall, and with me is the ever lovely
Amber Overall.
And it's a Monday like every other Monday. No, it's not like every other Monday. This is a Monday that, the Mondays that you really despise, you know, the ones you just want to roll back in bed. But when you're presented with all these challenges, you just keep pounding through them. Eventually you get through it and it all gets better in the end. At least that's what I keep telling myself. Other than that, I don't have a whole heck of a lot here today, so.
Thank you for sharing, John. Now get down from that soapbox.
All right. Sorry about that. I got distracted by your alter ego asking me something. Yeah, I'll blame your alter ego.
Mm-hmm.
And turn that down a little bit. There we go. Okay. So welcome to episode 623, pulling together plugins that work. We've got a couple of great in-depth plugins to cover for you, some recent news in both the WordPress world and the tech world in general, and some awesome WordPress tips. And I have to say, welcome to Old Man Winter's last hurrah, at least it is up here where I am. We were talking a little bit about this in the pre-stream. It seems to be fairly decent down south on the island, but up here, it's just everything. Every single season has been chucked into a... just a whole day, and we still got the snow kicking around. So hopefully everything will get a little bit better weather-wise this week.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We have a few reminders before we start the show today. One, our show is now every other week. Now, for those who haven't quite picked up on that, I'm not going to mark it down on the calendar. That way you don't get lost. The show starts at 12:30 p.m. Pacific time, with the pre-stream starting around 12:15 Pacific time. Pre-stream is where we twiddle with the dial's knobs and really just warm our voices up a little. And you can join us for some entertainment value there as well. Our show notes for each episode can be found at wppluginsa2z.com. The new show notes will be up within 24 hours and on our front page. Don't forget that this is a value-for-value show, and you are a big part of this show's creation. You are our producers. We need you to help us to produce. Get on out there. Hit the like button. Share it. Episode 2. Let people know that you helped to produce the longest-running WordPress plugins podcast. That's it for reminders. So let's move on to the artist of today. Sir Rogue of the Tavern, Baron of the Cowichan Valley, has created this beauty today.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of cool.
Oh, it's so pretty. Mm-hmm. I really like steampunk. Steampunk is my favorite genre, and this is just brilliant. I really love it.
Well, you know, WordPress is kind of like steampunk.
It really is. It's a little bit of everything all mashed up together to make it work and look pretty.
Uh-huh. That's what made me think of it. It's like, yeah, kind of like dealing with WordPress, man. You pull back all kinds of odd things, old stuff, new stuff. And
yep.
Throw it all together. And you end up with something
and
pretty.
If anything doesn't work, you just make a connection between the old and the new and hope it doesn't wear out too fast.
Pretty much. Well, that's where we're at.
Yeah. So it is a beautiful picture, though.
Yep.
And I love the fact that I can't actually tell if it's a cigarette, but at first glance, it looks like an e-smoke there, too.
No, it looks like a cigarette. It's got smoke coming off the end. It's no.
First glance, it looks like an e-smoke.
Oh, okay. Well, it could be. Good, very well.
All right. So for news this week.
All right. And we go into news.
Please, can everybody be quiet? Please be quiet. Shut up! And now the news with Amber.
First thing we have for this week is WordPress Vulnerability Report for February 14th, 2024. In this report, 73 issues were reported publicly, with 48 of them having had fixes already. The ones I most easily recognize are User Short Codes Plus, Lightspeed Cache, Premium Add-ons for Elementor, Backup WP WordPress Backup Plugin, Elementor Add-on Elements, Brizzy Page Builder, Event Tickets and Registration, and WP Event Manager, Events Calendar Registration, Sell Tickets with WooCommerce. Yeah, that was all one name, that last one.
Yeah, okay.
So most of these have had their patch. They are fixed, but you do want to go and check out this list for yourself. You want to go see, make sure that there is a patch. And if you do have a patch that you need to update in order to get, go back to your site or your client's site and do the updating. The next one we have on here is the vulnerability report from PatchStack. It is essentially the same thing, only it's more up to date. They put things up on their site as they happen, more so than collect them for a week and then throw them all up at once. So if you need more immediate information, these guys are the place to go. Next up, we have Avada WordPress theme patches arbitrary file upload vulnerability. So before I go too far on this, they currently have three people working in the WordPress taverns. Honestly, I think they should keep all three people because the amount of information that is on there right now is just amazing. I really, really liked it. I didn't have to go anywhere else this time. So for this, Kitty Keith, the CEO of Barn2, talked about her intention to sell back in January on Twitter. Although she has actually gone ahead and sold now. Kestrel has acquired 7 Barn2 plugins. And this is actually Kestrel's first acquisition. So nobody's really sure what they're going to do with them, if they're going to do anything other than keep them as they are. Maybe there will be changes, maybe there won't be changes. If you're a user of any of the Barn2 plugins, reach out to us. Let us know what happens.
Yeah, well, Barn2 is pretty cool. I interviewed them years ago.
Oh, yeah?
There's an old interview I did with, I can't remember who I interviewed from Barn2, but I reviewed a bunch of their plugins way back when they were relatively new to the field. Good mm-hmm. to see that they've advanced along, and I like, you know, the choice for them to make the sale was because they needed to focus on their primary plugins.
Makes sense. Well, hopefully it doesn't change too much. Nobody knows, though, because apparently Kestrel has not acquired anything before. So,
well, eventually, no, if you're using those plugins that are being acquired by them.
We shall see what happens.
Yeah.
Next, we have Automattic faces scrutiny over AI access policy. So this is a quote here. After unconfirmed reports of Google entering into a content licensing agreement with Reddit for training its AI, 404 Media claimed yesterday that Automattic is to sell Tumblr and WordPress.com users' content to Midjourney and OpenAI. If true, this could mirror an extended partnership that Shutterstock entered into with OpenAI last year. So this is a quote from this article here. This is from Gilesna. Just read the name. You'll understand. And since I couldn't really explain it better than what she did, I just put the quote in there. It is a very interesting article talking about what's going on in the background of everything WordPress and with everything WordPress and data. Personally, I'm not really surprised. Data is a big industry. If you are using something for free, you are the product. We say this all the time, meaning your information like Tumblr and your content is being sold by the company. They got to make a buck somehow. So you're getting a free program or plugin, but they're getting something out of it too.
Yep.
So
that's the way it's been since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And now with AI, it's even more valuable because they're able to sell it to the AI models for their language learning.
Absolutely. So this is the last article I have here. Google DeepMind taps the power of its AI Excel words. I'm going to try it again. All right. Google DeepMind taps the power of its AI to accelerate quantum computers. Wow, it's actually kind of hard to say out loud. This is actually pretty cool. Google DeepMind has tapped into its AI in order to accelerate the development of quantum computers. Now, this could be seriously awesome or seriously bad. Because if we don't actually invent the technology ourselves, like actually get to the point of full creation of quantum computers, we're not going to be able to keep it going, let alone have control over it. However, if we do not allow the smartest thing we've already created to help us, example here, the DeepMind AI, are we actually going to be able to get to the point we want to get to in creating something such as the quantum computers? So it's one of those toss-up things. We are pretty sure we can do it because we've already come so far. But at the same time, what if we have reached our limits in our capability of creation? Now we have to turn to AI, which can go further than us. But is that going to pass over the keys to the car, so to speak?
Hard to say.
It's a very interesting article. It goes a little bit into that. They also talk about the Run AI Zones, which I thought was a cool thing. We'll talk a little bit about it. And then, of course, they have about 3 different links that you can go check out.
There you go. Big down to it, folks. AI is here. It's not going away.
If you have a look at our extras today, literally every single one of these is from WP Taverns. These 3 are just doing a fantastic job of bringing all kinds of news to us. There is important news, medium importance, and semi-frivolous. It's all good news, though. And I, personally, I vote that all 3 of them get kept. That's my personal opinion.
That'd be nice. Let's hope they don't burn themselves out.
Hopefully. Although, if they do burn themselves out during this trial period, 2 of them will get to rest after.
Yep.
All right, so on to Dragon Brain.
Alrighty, first plugin I've got for you today is Advanced Custom Fields, ACF. And this is going to be a bit of a two-parter here. This show and next show, I'm going to be bringing in the pro version of it. So we're going to talk today just about the free version and what it does for you. Now, Advanced Custom Fields, I hadn't used it in years. I know about it, thought about using it a couple of times here and there, but I didn't need it again until recently while working on a major project. And I needed to do some customizations within Elementor that were not overly easy to accomplish. And then I remembered Advanced Custom Fields. I went, well, wait a minute, can it do this? And it goes, yes, it can. So what I ended up using it for and how Advanced Custom Fields helps you out dramatically, even just using the free version with Elementor. You can build yourself out these beautiful templates in Elementor to feed certain components of the site, and yet you need to bring in dynamic content to fill that field. Well, Advanced Custom Fields can create the custom fields you need for a post to be able to dynamically fill the content on the pages itself. It allows for multiple types of content, such as bringing in YouTube videos simply by dropping in the YouTube URL and using Elementor's video player to pull that content in. You can bring in page titles, post titles, even page content can be brought in dynamically using Advanced Custom Fields. There's a whole lot that I found it was able to do. Now, they go on and they talk about, you know, you can add the fields anywhere. And of course, everybody's still stuck on all the block themes. I believe Advanced Custom Field works with the block themes for custom fields. I am not overly fond of the block builder. So I still like the old builder. For some reason, the name isn't in my head. At any rate, it makes it real easy. And I have clients that are used to the classic builder, the classic editor, whereas the block editor is a bit of a pain in the neck for some people. It is what it is. So you can just create these custom fields, have them fill out that content. You go create the beautiful layout for the page that you want it to do, and then dynamically populate it with all that custom fields content. So there's a lot that it can be done with it. It is really great, the free version. And while I was digging down around on it, I did notice that some of the pro version items are available as free add-ons within the WordPress repository. So you might want to look into that before you jump to the pro version if you only need a couple of little things instead of everything that the pro version has. And in the next show, I will be bringing forward the pro version and how I've managed to use the pro version and what it can do. So at any rate, because it did such a fantastic job as a free version, we're going to go ahead and we're going to give the free version a 5 dragon rating. So go check out the free version of Advanced Custom Fields.
Yeah, that thing has been endlessly helpful.
It really has. There's been a lot that I've been doing with it. And the other nice thing feature I found is you can create custom fields and you can allocate those field blocks to only appear inside specific categories when someone's creating posts. You know, the fields will only appear if they put the post in a specific category. So there's a whole lot it can do. There's a lot of little controls in it to give maximum control. So if you need to create 5 different sets of fields, but they're going into 5 different categories for the content, you can force it so that they can only see those fields whenever they put a post in that category.
And for those who are still a bit newer to the scene like me, it is a wee bit of a learning curve, but it's not that hard to figure out.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess you can go.
Like hearing that, it's entertaining. So some WordPress tips. We would love to hear some tidbit tips from some of our producers out there. What did you figure out by breaking something, or what did you need to learn in order to help someone who broke something themselves? You can send these tidbits into me at amber@wppro.ca. So first one, making sites. Does your client have a lot of archive posts and pages, a lot of duplicates? How about a lot of pages and posts appear to be the foundation of the site, but you can't actually tell because although they say they're live, you can't actually find them looking around on the live site? The whole thing may be just confusing. Don't feel like you have to figure it out all on your own. Go to them and ask for help. Tell them you need for them to go into the site themselves and archive or remove all the pages and posts that they are not using right now. And if you need to teach them how, do so. Don't charge them for it, but teach them how. Make them a video, walk them through it, whatever needs to be done. But the big thing here is don't be afraid to tell your client that you need them to do something to make it possible for you to do your job. You can do it for them, but then you need to let them know that you need a specific list of what they want to keep live, what they want to keep active, what's okay to remove. And tell them that you're going to be charging them hourly for it. Don't let them tell you that this is already part of what they're paying you for, because it's not. This is outside the scope of whatever you agreed on. If you just said you were going to update a site, fix it up, you didn't agree to go through with a fine-tooth comb and archive or remove things for them based on what they want. That's their job. So don't let the clients tell you that they're already paying for something that they aren't. Your time is valuable. And honestly, most clients are more than happy to help with their site. And those that aren't, well, you gotta ask yourself, are they really worth your time? And for beginners' tips, since we're already talking about what your time is worth, don't be afraid of setting your price as what you're actually worth. If you're not sure what you're worth, a decent way to figure it out is to go and look at the going rates for what you know how to do out there. Look at what the cheapest prices are and what they're offering for that cheaper price. And look at the higher prices and what they're offering for that price. And maybe figure out somewhere in between.
There's an easier way to figure out your going rate. You take the skills you have, go see what the wage you would get for the job would be, and then you multiply it by 3.
Why multiply it by 3?
Because, you know, once you leave a job and you go in to work for yourself, your taxes go up. You suddenly have to pay for your own medical. You've got all the other expenses. You've got office expenses you don't have to pay for. You've got hydro now because you're working from home, increasing your hydro usage, your internet usage, et cetera, et cetera. All the stuff that your boss supplies, all that stuff adds up. People seem to think, oh, the company makes a ton of money. No, they've got tons of expenses, you know, and that's why you multiply it by 3, because now you still have to make a profit on top of all your expenses. So the standard has been for a long time is to take whatever wage you would earn, multiply it by 3.
Hendian said, I'm priceless, or at least that's what people tell me.
Nice job, Hendian.
The other thing too is, well, I was thinking, maybe ask yourself if you would be willing to pay for the price you're asking for the services you're providing.
Well, there's that too.
Ask yourself, is it really a fair price? Like, if you're trying to charge $450 an hour, but your competitors are only charging $150, you might want to ask yourself if the price you're asking for is maybe a little too high.
Depends on how your skill set is.
Yeah, okay, that goes into it as well. But if it's identical skill sets and you're charging $300 more,
yeah,
it might be a little too much.
You might be overcharging.
Yeah, don't be afraid to charge people what your time is worth. Because your time is probably worth a lot more than you realize. And my plugin. So I have IP-based login, but today I'm bringing in the pro version. For those who are not aware, this is really a continuation of the last show's plugin review. You can find it at this link here on our site. In the last show, I covered the free version of this plugin. In the pro version, there are additional options you can access. First, though, Brijesh Kathari actually reached out to me after our show last time to tell me the following. The usage you explained in the episode that you can offer IP-based access to developers is one use case. We also have two more use cases, which I'll mention below. One, publishers who have data can lease their data to universities, and the university students can log into these publishers' websites. Example, Stanford University leases content from the following publishers. lane.stanford.edu/biomedresources. You can go and check out the link yourself. These publishers use the IP-based login plugin to allow IP-based access to the university students without credentials. Two, WordPress agencies manage 50 to 100 sites at any given time, and they create login accounts on each customer's website, which is used by the development team. But when the site goes into production, the accounts are left as it is and might contain weak passwords, leading to potential compromise. In such cases, the WordPress agencies can install the IP-based login plugin and then add an authentication API credentials, and it will fetch the auto login IPs from our servers every hour. Now WordPress agencies can add their IP to the websites they're currently developing through a portal on our website, and their development team can auto-log into the customer's websites without login credentials. When the project is completed and goes live, the admin just needs to remove the auto-login entry from our central server, and it will be removed from the production website, making it secure from bad passwords and IP login as well.
Nice.
Yeah, I seriously love when developers reach out and explain all of the things that their plugin can do. Because there is very little chance I would have figured out these two things on my own while messing around with it, unless I was using the plugin on active site or dev site with these specific needs. And these are not specific needs for someone like me. I'm a small person and I don't connect with universities. So I love it when developers do this. If at any time we are covering a plugin and a developer out there hears us and they're like, hey, my plugin can also do these three things. Well, tell us. Reach out to us. Our emails are here in our show notes. Let us know what we missed and we will make sure to get it up there, because we aren't going to be able to find every single little thing that your plugin does. Your plugin you created is your baby. You know every little bit of it. We're just learning. So let us know. And then we'll make sure that other people will get to hear it. And maybe that will actually get your plugin more noticed, because you'll end up hitting those niche those niche clients that you wouldn't otherwise hit. So once you activate this, you'll still find the plugin's dashboard in the left-hand menu under IP-based login. It doesn't change its name or anything like some other plugins, so it won't hide on you. Only thing now that's different in the plugins dashboard is you won't see Go Pro or the red letters that tell you to upgrade to Pro. So sorry, I'm just reading my notes, messing up with my brain. In the Pro, you get redirect to option where you can put a link in and have the user be redirected there after they log in. Very useful for if you want whomever is logging in to see particular content or a particular area right away so they don't get lost. And there's also usage. Here you can enter the number of logins after which this range will expire. Default is 0, which means unlimited. So if you do not change from the default setting of 0, whomever you have given access to can log in an unlimited number of times. If you set it to 1 or more, they will be able to log in only that number of times. They go to log in again and they will be blocked. Again, crazy useful. I think they made a really good choice on what to keep for just pro options. These three options are rather vital. Oh, the other option is, or the other thing that happens is, IPv6. It can do IPv6 now rather than just IPv4.
That's useful.
It is, especially for larger companies.
Well, especially since the internet is slowly changing to IPv6.
Yeah. Well, the free version is IPv4 only, but once you get to Pro, it supports IPv6. That's the third thing that it does.
Nice.
So I think they actually made a really good choice on what to keep for Pro. They leave their plugin very useful for people using the free version, but then in the Pro version, they make it exceedingly useful, and they have those specialized options for people who actually need them. I think they did a really fantastic job with this. And I rate them at 5 dragons.
Very cool. All right. We need to do a little talking about...
It's time to donate to WP Plugins A to Z.
All right. Earn yourself a producership credit. We have 3 levels of producers that help to keep the show's larder stocked to the bursting. Freelance producers, backroom producers, and war room producers. There are special perks for backroom and war room producers that you can learn about on our site, wppluginsaz.com. Click on Time, Treasure, or Talent Donations in our left-hand menu to learn all the nitty-gritty details and how you can add your 2 cents. You can also join in and be part of your own production while supporting the show at the same time. There are loads of ways that you can use us as your tool to get out there, and you'll also be helping the show at the same time. You can leave a review for a plugin, donate your own plugin, or you can donate your own plugin license, donate your own plugin review. There's all kinds of things you can do. There's a huge list right here in our show notes, but then there's even more information on our website. We have some miscellaneous announcements today. The next 5 WordCamps are WordCamp Asia 2024, March 7th to 9th, Women WordPress Day on March 8th, Switzerland Community Day, March 23rd, WordCamp Torlodones, March 23rd to 24th, and WordCamp Vienna, Austria, April 5th to 6th. If you want to see the whole list, you can follow the link, central.wordcamp.org. And if you're interested in finding a WordPress meetup somewhere around the world, you can go check out places at the link provided here. For those who are unaware, the YYJ WordPress meetup group has been discontinued. Although there seems to be something in Vancouver, I believe in June there is a meetup happening for WordCamp in Vancouver. Probably. I saw something about that earlier today.
Probably. That's the only one left, does it?
So you can reach us at our brick and mortar address, or you can reach us through our virtual addresses as well. Both of them are here for your ease. Today's plugins we covered were?
I covered up the free version of Advanced Custom Fields, ACF, by WP Engine, and it allows you to add custom fields for your editors on demand, anywhere, add content anywhere fast using automatic pull-in of that content. Now, if you're big into coding, you can hard-code your themes for this stuff too. But if you're liking to use the automated tools, it makes it easy, breezy, and beautiful. And it's very accessible for everything you need to do on the site. So there's a lot it can do for you. So go check it out. And I gave it a 5 dragon rating.
And I covered IP-based login by Brijesh Kothari. Easily grant specific access via IP, capability to grant access via range of IP, and WordPress agencies manage 50 to 100 sites at any given time. There's all kinds of things going on with this. I rated it at 5 dragons.
Very cool.
It's question and answer time with John and Amber.
All right, so if anyone out there has any questions they'd like to have asked here on the show, send them in to me at amber@wppro.ca. We'll see if we can stump my dad. So today's kind of a throwback question sort of day. Okay. This question was asked on episode 547. That was put out in February of 22. And I'm wondering how you'd answer all these questions today now. SEO is a commonly tossed around need for sites, though not many people really understand it too well, even after years dealing with it. Can you explain it a little in layman's terms?
Well, I guess the simplest layman's terms for it is the SEO search engine optimization is needed if you want to rank reasonably well in the search engines. The search engine that everyone has to kowtow to right now, of course, is Google. So that's what everyone bends to. Some areas, you know, depends on your little niche market, you might be better off with Bing. But the thing is you have to, you need it. And so what you need to do is as you build your site out, you have to pay attention to the SEO. And you want to do it in the beginning of the site. It's really hard to go back and do it later. And the reason for that, of course, it's much easier to cut your path the first time than it is to go, oh, shoot, I cut my path wrong. Go back 500 steps and cut a new path in another direction. And that's basically what happens with SEO, especially with older websites. You know, you got lazy when you were creating posts, you know, you're throwing in your images and you just uploaded them. You didn't bother to fix the images, alt, description. The metadata for the images, you didn't bother to do that. So now the images don't have proper titles and descriptions, you know, and your content. If you wrote decent content to begin with, that doesn't overly matter. But nowadays, the search engines look at all the metadata that's created and pulled from a post. You know, if you have recipes, it pulls in different pieces of the recipe data. If you have a regular post and you didn't use and you created lists in there, but you didn't use bullet marks or number marks, that was a mistake. You need to use bullets and numbers because the search engines pull that information and highlight it for people. There's a lot in there you can do. It's all basically about first, number one, content is king, always has been. Since the beginning of the internet, content has been king. It still is king. If you write your content for humans, you will generally rank pretty well. I've proven this one time and time again with my lack of enthusiasm for many years for doing SEO. It's only in the last 2 years that I've gotten serious about SEO. But previously, I just worried about making the content good, and that allowed me to rank reasonably high. Now I'm trying to get higher in the ranks. And when you want to get higher in the ranks, you not only need content, you've got to go in and tweak for all the little nuances that you are focusing on. If you're focusing on recipes, you got to tweak for the little recipe nuances. If you're focusing on how-to videos, you got to tweak for the nuances there. You also, if you're using videos, you want to think about where you're putting those videos, whether you're serving them yourself, you put them on YouTube or Vimeo or whatever. Well, it turns out Google really dislikes Vimeo. So I can't swear to it, but it seems like they penalize you if you use Vimeo videos instead of putting them on their YouTube channel. I know they give you marks against the Vimeo videos for no apparent reason. So that's how I, hopefully that was layman's terms and didn't go too far sideways.
That was fairly layman's terms. Pemdian actually has a good question here. Today, I got an alert on my site saying Google Consent Mode V2 is required by March 2024. Who needs it and who can ignore it? Who do you implement it if you need it? The alert came from a cookie plugin.
I have no idea what Google Consent Mode is.
I'm not actually sure. It sounds like one of those, do you consent to allowing us to copy all your information to sell it things, but...
Oh, yeah, okay. That's what it looks like. Yeah, okay, that's... It has to do with the fact that when you're putting up YouTube videos and other things, I think, don't quote me on this because I have a vague recollection of it and dealing with it. It has to do with all the laws being created mostly in Europe around privacy. And you've got site, it's the reason we have these windows that pop up and say, this site uses cookies. Do you consent to them? You know, and so it's got to be something along that line right there. And the consent mode would be relevant depending upon where your clients are, who's using your site, what the privacy rights are in that country. You know, now granted, the internet is worldwide, so it's nearly impossible for everyone to obey all the laws in every single country out there. But the biggest thing is you got to obey the ones for the country that you're focused on your sales and everything in.
So that makes sense.
That's all. It's all I can think of for it. I really don't know. I've never dug it. Yeah, the alert came from a cookie plugin. So it's about the Google consent cookie, and it has to do with Google. If you use YouTube videos on your site, Google collects additional information that your site doesn't collect, and the people need to know about that. That are agreeing to the cookies on the site, or at least they got to have the ability to know about it. You know, if you look at those cookie consent things, there's usually a little tick box that you can open up to see what you're consenting to.
So Google consent mode version 2 is required by March 2024.
Yeah, it just means okay. That they're changing the version of it.
And so it's something. I wonder if with the next update you'll have version 2.
Something, yeah. Well, probably. I would hope the developer updates it for the next update. You know, it's like, I honestly don't know much about it. I've never dug down deep into that one. I'm sure I will. I'm sure it'll come across my plate and I'll have to deal with it. Problem is I only chase down rabbit holes I have to deal with because, you know, I spend so much time in a rabbit warren that it's a nightmare.
Well, he, Hemdian also managed to condense everything he said into a very simple sentence. To get good SEO, don't allow SEO to get in the way of content creation.
Yes. Content is king. Always has been, always will be.
All right, I've got two more questions. Was that only the first question?
That was only the first question.
Wow. Good job, Hemdian. You're making our show awesome today. So, this question was asked on episode 555, came from March 22. What do you do if there are 3 months or more behind an update? Is there a way to take care that you don't break your site?
Yes. If you fall 3 months or more behind in updates on your site, whatever you do, don't just magically hit the button to update all, because you're probably going to find you're going to break something. Not always. But I'd say it's about 10% of the time something's going to break. So what you need to do is you need to stop, make a full backup of all the files and the database, get it off-site so you can access it if you need to, before you do anything else. Then go in and update your plugins that need updating one at a time. And check to make sure your site works after each individual plugin. That way, if something breaks, you'll know which plugin did it, and you can easily reverse it instead of mass update all. Something breaks, and you go, oh my God, what broke it? And you have to revert all the plugins until you find it. So one at a time, check it all out. Once you get through all the plugins, go update the WordPress core files and make sure it all works. And once that's settled in after a couple, 3 to 5 minutes, you will have more plugins that need to update, usually. Not always, but oftentimes, because nowadays a lot of plugins are looking, they won't update unless they see a certain version of WordPress. Take, for example, it's an SEO plugin for some reason. I can't think of the name of it. Oh, Yoast. Yoast will work. Yoast plugin, if, say, you fell behind in the WordPress core updates and you're at WordPress 6.1 or something, and we're now moving into, what, 6.5? And you need to update 6.4. Well, there's certain updates that won't work until it gets to the next version of WordPress. And so what will happen is you'll be able to update to a certain point, but you won't be able to update further. And then once you update, the WordPress core files, a couple minutes later, the plugin detects, oh, new version of WordPress. Hey, we need the next update. So that's what you want to do. You'll want to do that.
So that hasn't really changed at all. I doubt it ever will change, eh?
No. No, and then once you've got everything updated, then you can smooth ride and try to stay on top of it at least once every 3 to 4 weeks.
So here's a question. Are there any new boogeymen to look out for while you're doing an update of a site that's out of date?
No. Were there old boogeymen? I don't remember old boogeymen. The old boogeymen are only, you know, plugins that break. You know,
so it's all the same boogeyman.
It's all the same boogeyman. I mean, nowadays, almost all the plugins have become PHP 8 compatible now, so... You know, if you're still sitting on PHP 7, you might be able to move to PHP 8 now if you're using plugins that have been actively updated.
Yeah, if your plugin hasn't been updated for a while, almost guaranteed it's going to break your site when you try to switch.
Yeah, if it's older than 2 years since it's had an update, actually about a year and a half. If it's older than a year to a year and a half, there's a good chance that it'll break if you go to PHP
8. Oh, and 7. Funny thing, sometimes... I have found going to 8.1 mm-hmm. didn't work, but going to 8.3 did. Mm-hmm. So when you're checking it out, don't assume that the latest version simply won't work just because you think it won't work. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and try it. Even if like 8.0 or 8.1 doesn't work on your site, try 8.3 just for the heck of it.
8.2. Not every server has 8.3 yet.
Okay. Well, try whatever the most up-to-date version is that is available on your server. Mm-hmm. And just see if it works, because I found that on a couple of sites, 0.1 didn't, but 0.3 and 0.2 did.
Yeah. Well, so. they're moving PHP development very rapidly right now.
They really are.
More rapidly than it's gone for years.
So. Kind of feel like I have skid marks on my forehead.
Yeah, well, a little bit of that. All right.
I've got two more questions for after the credits.
All right. For those of you listening to the download of the show, this is the point here where you miss out on more good stuff if you don't go check us out on the YouTube channel. So go check out the YouTube, get the rest of the questions and everything else. In the meantime, we're going to let our girl take us on out, and we'll be right back on YouTube after the credits.
Reminders for the show. All show notes can be found at wppluginsa-z.com. And while you're there, subscribe to the newsletter for more useful information delivered directly to your inbox. WP Plugins A to Z is a show that offers honest and unbiased reviews of plugins created by developers because you support the show. Help keep the show honest and unbiased by going to wppluginsa-z.com/donate and set the donation level that fits your budget. Help us make the show better for you by subscribing and reviewing the show at Stitcher Radio, Google Play, and in the iTunes Store. You can also leave us a review on our Facebook page using wppluginsa-z.com/Facebook. You can also watch the show live on YouTube, check out the screencasts and training videos, and remember to subscribe and hit the bell to get notifications of all new videos. Follow the show on Twitter at wppluginsa-z. John can also be reached at his website, johnoverall.com, or email him directly, john@wppro.ca. Thanks for joining us, and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the show. This show is copyright by johnoverall.com. So until next time, have yourselves a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you happen to be out there on the globe today.